Well, everybody enjoys the old Nina Nai Nai, that's for sure. But we're going to take a break from that song. It's a couple of minutes past 11 o'clock. And joining us on the telephone each and every Tuesday at this time is Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management with a little overview of the market and the economy. Manny, mia thermike, mia zesti, kalimera. Good to have you.
Kalimera. How are you, Teddy?
I'm doing very well. And yourself, Manny?
Doing well. No complaints. Happy to hear you're well, though.
Yeah. Actually, I was off for a couple of days with the family, so my batteries are all kind of reduced up, so that's a good thing. Coming back to this weather, though, but there's been an awful lot of cloudy weather out here, that's for sure.
Oh, it's been awful. I mean, in the entire month of July, it's been raining 60.
I heard something that there's been more rain in the July of 2021, and we're not even halfway through the month in the past 100 years or something like that. It's just...
Yeah, the best explanation I got from someone was that June was so dry that July was born to be wet.
I guess.
Take that for whatever it means.
I guess. So, Manny, I'm going to defer to you. You know, what's been going on this week, and, you know, what's hot and what's not?
Well, I mean... We had some. We had an inflation report this morning, which was very hot. It was the hottest number since 2008. So that has caught a lot of people by surprise. Not, I won't say a lot of people. We've been on the side that it's not as transitory as people would say to be. But again, what's the definition of transitory? It just means not lasting forever. So at that point, you could pick any period of time. Mm-hmm. We're falling on the camp that it's probably not going to dissipate in 2021. It's going to move into 2022. You know, there's two different sides of the inflation narrative. You have service inflation and goods inflation. Service inflation will drop back down at some point. The key is whether or not goods does. So they were looking for a 5 and a 4.9% print. They printed 9% this morning, which was, and we can go through some of these numbers if people are interested. But at the end of the day, it just means that inflation has somewhat become unanchored. It has become a center focus of the Federal Reserve, which we learned at their last policy meeting last month. You have their next policy meeting in July, and at this point with these numbers, I don't think it's off the table that they look to taper in September. So again, this continues with our narrative that you had a summer lull. That lull has continued. We've hit all-time highs in the indices, you know, a number of times just in July alone. Now they're incremental increases. It's not like we're blowing off, but they're still all-time highs. We think that continues as we get through July and August. But again, our story from the beginning of this year was, you know, or at least since we figured out what the vaccine rollout was going to be, that we were going to have a good summer market-wise, but things are going to get hairy come September and the fall. And we're still on that narrative.
Manny, I want your thoughts a little off subject in reference to, you know, what we're hearing today during Petro's report. He, you know, the largest amount of deaths recorded in Russia just yesterday as a result of COVID, and the fact that it is still rampant and how we are, in a sense, back to normal here. So just your thoughts and comments.
Well, it's vaccinations, Teddy. I mean, it's just simple science. I mean, the state of Massachusetts has vaccinated north of 65% of its population. So when you have numbers like that, it allows you to reopen and for people to move along more confidently. But the problem is that the international arena hasn't played catch-up, and they're not being educated. So, I mean, just look at what's happening in Greece alone. They can't get anyone to go get vaccinated. Now, they're still averaging, I think I heard, around 2,000 cases a day, something along those lines. I mean, those numbers aren't going to go away unless people get vaccinated. So this is a story of education and government rollout. And I think that Europe tried to get on the right page. They're seeming to slip here. I think it's actually getting worse with these new variants, and we know this to be true. But the problem is now you have the report similar to what we heard from J&J, you know, that they have a, you know, 100 cases of a rare disease that is attacking the nervous system, that they still don't know if it's delivered by the virus or by the vaccine or if it's some other health ailment. But what they're trying to do is they need more studies and more sample size to determine, is this being brought forward by the vaccine or is this just a rare health event and 100 people that received this vaccine? So, but with stories like that, I mean, you risk losing control of the narrative, which at this point you need the narrative to be that the vaccines are safe, that they're healthy, that they need to be widely distributed and put to use.
Yeah,
so that is the story between what is occurring here and what is occurring in other parts of the world.
Well, it's the way of spreading the message. I heard something. You know, when you heard the math, there were 10 on the J&J out of, I think the number was over 10 million, if I'm not mistaken. It was a very,
I think it was 100. I think it was 100 over 10 million.
Okay, 100 over 10 million. Yeah. So, I mean, that is, you know, get a chance of getting hit by a car are probably higher than, you know, Tinapua.
Now, look, there's been reports out there, too, right? Someone gets the vaccine and a couple months later they have a stroke. But yeah, who is to say that it was the vaccine that brought this on versus just normal life events?
I agree.
So there's going to still be more studies and there's going to be more science put to use. But to answer your question, that is the major difference in why things are different here stateside compared to overseas.
Yeah. What else have you seen? Well, you know, what's hot and what's not?
I mean, look, everything is hot. Mm-hmm. You're talking about all-time highs. I mean, B of A just came out today and wrote a report, this Bank of America, that they think that the rally behind reopening has potentially dissipated. I mean, you're seeing it this morning with, you know, we just started earnings season again. You have Goldman and Sachs and you have JP Morgan beat their revenues and their top-line numbers. Now, it wasn't the greatest beat because they lost a significant amount of revenue in trading, but they made it up in deal work, whether it was M&A or SPAC deals. But again, the stocks are selling off here. But you've got to remember where we came from to where we are today. You're talking about in March 2020, Goldman Sachs was trading at 130 a share. Right now, you're at like 385. So you've already priced in a ridiculous amount of this optimism in this reopening. So unfortunately, and this is the problem right now with where we stay in a cyclical, you know, in a cyclical business cycle, is where do we stand in the business cycle? Obviously, we knew March 2020 was a recession, but was it even qualified as a recession because of how quickly it recovered? So at this point in time, we don't know if we're end of cycle or potentially have 2 to 3 years of good economic data that can sustain this bull market. Mm-hmm. But you got to always look at where we're coming from. So at this point, you know, and every bear market is the same. They're born on good news. Mm-hmm. It's usually when the top euphoric event, right, the peak of the economy meets the peak of the stock market, that's usually your cyclical high. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have a massive dichotomy where you have peak stock market, but the economy hasn't even come close to actually fully recovering. So what's hot is everything is hot right now. I mean, every single stock, for the most part, is, you know, trading near their upper range. So what's been hot has been, you know, the U.S. equity markets. The question is how long does that remain, you know, the key part of investors' portfolios, not just here, but globally. Yeah. The other thing that's concerning is you have slowdowns occurring. China is slowing down massively. Mm-hmm. That's been the report over the last month. So if you use China as the bellwether and say, you know, first ones out of COVID, first ones to reopen, first ones to get people back to work, you know, if they're slowing down now, does that mean that at some point the rest of the world peaks out and continues that? It's why you saw the 10-year yield crash last week because of these slow growth concerns. It almost depicts that once this inflationary environment is over, we might be going back to a very deflationary environment and slow growth.
Manny, I want to take a moment here. With Stamati not being here, and you've been doing this now for a couple of years, and it's become a little bit of a highlight of the week, really, particularly for many of those that, you know, have interest in the market and, you know, their wealth and wealth management. Manny, I want you, in your own words, there are, I'm sure, some listeners out there that own companies that carry 401k plans for their employees, that have an opportunity to, you know, do the very best. It's an investment from both the employee as well as the company. You know, the importance of what you do, you know, in regards to, it's not just, you know, the papu and the yaya who have a little nest egg. That's really not what you do. I want to give you a platform to explain, even and to reach out to some of the listeners who do have companies that have 401k plans, and what your strategy is for that particular type of organization or Greek American who has, you know, several employees.
Yeah, in particular, this firm services, you know, high net worth individuals. that are looking to make smart decisions, that are looking to pass on assets in a very efficient manner to either their next of kin, mm-hmm. or their philanthropic endeavors, mitigating taxes, and trying to set themselves up for good financial futures. That's the core of this of our business model. We manage about 100 401ks now that are located across the country. Some of them have two people in them. Some of them have, thousands of people, and they're publicly traded. We've actually been ranked as one of the top advisory firms in the 401k space across the country. So when you're talking 401k, at the very basic, you need to figure out how it's set up for your company, because there's a number of ways that people do it incorrectly, that they're missing out on tax rebates, that they're missing out on write-offs that the corporation and the owner can get. And then from there, it comes down to, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to do a basic plan that incentivizes and retains key talent? If so, you can set it up for that manner. Mm-hmm. Or are you trying to set it up where you, as the business owner, can mitigate taxes to the utmost degree? At that point, it comes down to plan design. And then you can get pretty creative here, where some companies can, instead of doing the traditional way of putting in $19,500 or $26,000 a year, which is the government limit, sometimes with plan design, you can get so creative that you can have business owners put up to $250,000 a year tax-free. Mm-hmm. So it really determines, you really want to make sure that you're working with someone that understands this business thoroughly, that is a fiduciary, and I don't say that lightly. We are fiduciaries, so we're legally required to do what's in the best interest of the client and the company at all times. We receive no kickbacks, no commissions. Everything that is put in place is what is the best out there for the company and the people, and that's how you want to make sure you're operating. Unfortunately, what we see coming down the pipe is that with the government needing more taxation, the DOL is, SEC is hiring a significant amount of auditors and agents. That was one of the biggest pushes by Biden. They're exploding the amount of IRS efforts, and the next is going to be the Department of Labor. So we already know that, wealth inequality is a major problem in this country, and it will be a problem in this country for the next decade to come. So what are they going to do? They're going to go after the rich and the business owners to make sure that they're doing things correctly. If not, they're going to hit them with fines and with higher taxes. So this is the time to really get creative, look at what you're doing, and set things up for the future.
Very interesting. The sign of the times, I guess. It truly is. It truly is. Manny, it's always a pleasure. All right, so give us the best week, best news of the week as we close out.
I mean, we're looking like 80 degrees this weekend, which is first time in a long time that we're getting, some decent weather on a weekend. So that's got to be a bright spot. For me, looking at the market right now, I think that people need to take solace that it's at all-time highs. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of that. I'm on the camp that I do believe that this rally can continue for a few more years, but we're going to hit some troublesome waters. So it's never a bad idea to take chips off the table. Mm-hmm. So I think that with good times, breathe them, live them, recognize them, but then realize when it's time to make a decision and maybe a, change of action, because I think what worked over the last 10 years isn't going to work for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Manny, always keeping us updated with what's going on. A great big thank you, and we will retool 1 week from today at 11 a.m. right here. Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management. Thank you, Manny. Ευχαριστώ. Να σε καλά.
Thank you, Teddy. Να σε καλά.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.